Please pray with me. God of life and love, as we gather around your living word, open our hearts that we might be transformed and become a blessing for the world you love so very much. Amen. Genesis tells us that in the beginning the earth was formless and empty, and God's Spirit brooded over the waters. And God spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light, light and dark, night and day, dusk and dawn. And God said, "All this was good." Then God stretched out the sky and separated the land from the waters. Again, "All this very good." God created and shaped plants and trees and the seasons, stars, moon and sun, the lights of the sky. God made the waters to teem with living things, birds to fill the air and creatures to crawl and walk the earth. And God beheld it all and said that this was very, very good. The Psalms tell us that when humans arrive on the scene, all creation is already praising God. God brings forth humankind, and we find a world chock full of the goodness of God. We find creation singing, and then, as one hymn says, we mortals join the mighty chorus that the morning stars began. We arrive and find creation singing praise. Let's listen in to Psalm 146.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God from the heavens. Praise God in the heights above. Praise God, all you angels. Praise God, all you heavenly hosts. Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars. Praise God, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of God, for at God's command they were created, and God established them forever and ever, and issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise God from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do God's bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, sovereigns of the earth and all nations, all you rulers on earth, young men and women, all people, elders and children, let them praise the name of our God, for God's name alone is exalted. God's splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and God has raised up for the people a horn, the praise of all the faithful servants of Israel, the people close to God's heart. Hallelujah. Praise God.
We find creation chock full of the goodness of God, and we join creation's singing praise. Is our response to the goodness of God. I don't know that we talk much about praise. We do it. We do it all the time, praise, or at least we have the opportunity to do it. Every Sunday, the call to worship starts us off with praise. Our prayers let us praise, and every song we sing. And in those moments when we are on our own and we experience something so much bigger than us and say, wow, the world offers us, it's full of moments of awe that draw forth our praise. We know that experience. But we don't often stop and put words to what we are doing. Maybe we talk more about praise's close cousin, gratitude. Gratitude is giving thanks. Thanks for all the blessings of life. Thanks for the things that God does. Praise is close to that. Praise and thanksgiving are never far off from each other. But praise is more thanking and acknowledging God for who God is. God is loving creator. Creator of all that is. God is faithful. God is sovereign. God is our rock and our redeemer. God is just and God is merciful, praise God. Our praise says who God is, and it also describes how we have come to know God, the broad expanse of how we have experienced God over time through the testimony of Scripture and all the way up until now. God is the God who rescues those in peril. God is the God who cares for the vulnerable. God is the God who lifts up those held low, who satisfies the hungry with good things, who sets captives free. We praise God's actions over time, so steadfast and consistent that they are for us a way to say something of who God is and to give God praise. Now, we don't praise God for who God is because God needs it, because God has an inflated ego that needs to be fed. We praise to name and acknowledge God's goodness in the world more powerful than anything that does us harm. Ellen Davis puts it this way: praise is not concocted flattery, but the most earnest human business we can undertake. We praise God in order to see the world as God does. We praise God in order to see the world as God does. When we say that God created all this in love, and then we look around the world, we see every bit of creation as that which God longs to sustain and love into thriving. When we say that God is just, and we then look around the world, we see unjust systems that cannot stand, that call out for us to dismantle and rebuild. When we say that God lifts up those held down low, and we then look around the world, we see the hungry whom God longs to feed, the refugee whom God longs to shelter, all our broken places God longs to heal. We praise God in order to see the world as God does. This doesn't mean, though, that we see the world only through rose-colored glasses. Remember, we are in the Psalms. And the Psalms sing the whole of life, and they sing it true. They sing praise, and they sing lament, and longing, and rage, and bewilderment, and quiet calm, and desperate fear, the experience of being utterly alone, and the experience of being loved in a community of kindred spirits. Those moments when we hang our harps in the trees and weep. Those moments when God leads us beside still waters. Those moments when we look into the abyss and cry out, why? The Psalms hold all that. But did you know that the Hebrew title for the Psalms, for the whole book, is Praises? Our title, Psalms, comes from the Greek for songs, but the Hebrew title of the book is Tehillim. It means praises. Our praises are not separated out from the mess and muck of life. They are right there in the midst of it all. The Psalms aren't set out in neat categories, a chapter of praises here, a chapter of laments there. They're all mixed in together, all those experiences and emotions sometimes in the same psalm, and the Hebrew Scriptures call them all together praises. We live and move in the whole mess of life, and in that mess, we look for and long for the goodness of God, and we sing our praises so that even in the mess and the muck, and maybe especially there, we can see the world as God sees it. God's goodness planted more deeply than all that is wrong. Let's listen in as the psalmist sings that in Psalms 149 and 147.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Sing to God a new song, God's praise in the assembly of faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their Sovereign. Let them praise God's name with dancing and make music to God with timbrel and harp. For God takes delight in their people, and crowns the humble with victory. Let God's faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. Hallelujah! Praise God! How good it is to sing praises to our God! How pleasant and fitting to praise God! God builds up Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our God and mighty in power, whose understanding has no limit. God sustains the humble but casts the oppressor to the ground. Sing to God with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. God covers the sky with clouds, supplies the earth with rain, and makes grass grow on the hills. God provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. God's pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor their delight in the legs of the warrior. God delights in those who are in awe of God, who put their hope in God's unfailing love.
The Psalms sing God's praise, the world as God sees it, and they come with a particular invitation. They invite us to sing a new song. As I was thinking of teaching the doxology with kids this morning, I thought that it might feel a bit odd to refer to the doxology as a new song. We know it as an old song. For some of us, we've known it and heard it and sung it all the way back to the beginning of our memory. But for kids, it is a new song. When we sang it today, when we brought it to life on this particular day, in our particular voice, it is the way of all songs. It was, in us, a new song. Back when I was serving as chaplain at the seminary, we had one worship service a week that we called Worship Lab. We had four chapel services every week, and three of those services, we did all the traditional things. But we set aside Thursday chapels to try something new, to experiment. Some folks liked that more than others did. I worked with four student chaplain assistants, and that was their assignment for Thursday worship, to design a 30-minute worship service that tries one new thing. So we had drum circles and labyrinth walks, and we created art together in worship. One week at our worship team meeting, the student who was designing worship for the week presented their experimental idea for worship. They said, "I want to design a worship service that uses classical music to praise God." I said, "Okay, tell us a little bit more." "Well, we have a lot of gifted musicians on campus, some we don't even know about, one who plays in a professional orchestra, and I want to invite them to play classical music and praise God like that." That was the experiment. Now, after the meeting, Dan Hoggett, who was the professor of church music and my partner in leading the worship team, my mentor and my friend, pulled me aside and said, "Scott, I need to know that you know. I need to know that you know that there's nothing new about classical music in worship. We have been doing that for literally hundreds of years." I laughed and said, "True, but in that meeting, it certainly felt like we were experiencing something new. Psalm 149 gives me language for that moment. What we experienced that day was a new song. Sure, we were talking about what are literally old songs, but when that student spoke and when those musicians played and sang that Thursday, what came to life, what we did was sing a new song, echoing the music of the ages that was at the same time alive in us as it had never been alive before. Monastic communities like the Benedictines sing the Psalms new every single day throughout the day, and they have done so for over 1,000 years. It is the living pulse of their lives, reaching back through the generations gone before and then stretching forward out into hope. Nathaniel Samuel Morrell, who writes out of the African-American church tradition, says that the black church sings the Psalms of praise as what he calls ritual rejuvenation. In times of struggle, they draw from what he calls the musical redolence of the Psalms, lamenting the struggle and the pain and praising God's power over every power, God's saving love fresh and alive for this day. David Tuesday Adama, who writes out of the African context, reminds us that the Psalms are words of the dead, the songs of ancestors who lived long ago, their songs living, powerful, and present among us, alive in our life, alive in our moment. For us, the invitation to sing a new song is both literal and metaphor. It is an invitation to sing a song. And it is an invitation to live a life. Praise is seeing the world as God sees it and saying yes. Praise is entering into that world and living our life, giving our life to make it so. When we praise the God who binds up the brokenhearted and then respond to the world with tender mercy, we sing a new song. When we praise the God who gives food to the hungry and then helps stock that community fridge, we sing a new song. When we praise the God who brings the exile back home and shelters the stranger, and then think how we might provide housing to a refugee family, we sing a new song. And notice one more thing. Notice that in all this praising, no one is left out. These psalms often begin with one voice, and then the chorus grows. Did you notice that? The heavens, and then the earth. The sun, then the moon, then the stars. The birds, then the fish, then the crawling things. The psalmist, and then those who sung with them, adding voices all the way down to us. All of us, together, praising God to see the world as God sees it, praising God and saying yes to helping God make it so. So let's do that together. Let's join our voices together as Jessica leads us in a responsive reading of Psalm 150. Psalm 150 is the culmination of all the Psalms. And then after that, we're going to join together in singing some praise as we move into our time of prayer.
Please join me as we praise God together, reading responsively Psalm 150. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise God in the mighty heavens.
Praise God for God's acts of power. Praise God for their surpassing greatness.
Praise God with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise God with the harp and lyre. Praise God with timbrel and dancing. Praise God with the strings and pipe. Praise God with the clash of cymbals. Praise God with resounding cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise our God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let everything that has breath praise God. And let's do that by singing together the doxology as we move into our prayer, a time of silence, and then joining our voices together in the Lord's Prayer.